Amen. What a blessing it is for us to be able to gather together, and what a wonderful time of worship and singing. Great to have a lot of folks that have been traveling back home, and we are looking forward to a great time of study. We're looking forward to a great year, and just want to begin by saying thank you for being here. Continue to keep those in our prayers that are going through different hardships and special times. We continue to think about Tammy and her treatment starting this week, and continue to pray for them and others as well. I had just talked to Hannah Lawson a minute ago, and she was telling me about a cousin of hers, Ruby, that has cancer, been battling it for many, many years. She's only 9 years old. And I just think, man, there's some things that we have so much to be thankful for. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful to be able to share a few of those with you today. You know, I like to start with a smile of the week. And really, it's more than one smile. And these are some birthday smiles, some folks that have had big birthdays and whatnot. Our fellas here that do different things for us. I know, man, Jim Newsom has done things for our missions program for so many years and helped with different works. They do a dental clinic down in Alabama in one of the Hispanic communities. Just so many things that kind of go on that we may not even across talk about that much. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you for all you guys do. Of course, you've seen our new family, and so grateful to have Leslie and her family here. And you just, it's just always, even though she's a descendant of Tom Campbell, that Ellie is just cute as it can be. She is just precious. There are two real, another birthday in the middle, and I want you to see great-grandmom on the far right and that smile holding her great-grandbaby. What a person. And then notice Greg's T-shirt. That is the best T-shirt I have said. It's not easy to be Michelle's arm candy, but I'm nailing it. Is that not the best? That is just too good. And, of course, Miss Robin, thankful so much. And then these cuties. Little boys are just cute. You know, there's just something special about them. And I love seeing little kids and different ones. And some of you may see one that's not so little anymore over there. And then you got to say this. Praise God, our little Nova has hit 2 pounds. And you knew she was going to make it on the screen. She's just... She's such a fighter, and we continue to pray for Bethany and Stefan and those taking care of our sweet Nova. And this is a precious, precious announcement today. Something serious, and that's kind of our focus, serious today. And it's great news to announce. Kenley Watkins was baptized into Christ yesterday. And yes, you may give her a hand. Kenley, come on up. We've got a Bible for you. And just so thankful for you. And I want to have a prayer with you. But I'm going to make you watch something first.
Watch something?
Yes. Because we don't always get to see this.
That's horrible.
No, you're precious. We don't always get to see this as a church, but we need to celebrate it because it's the greatest moment in our life.
Before you were born. And your name, you Kenley Faith Watkins.
Yeah.
You ever thought about what faith means?
No.
Means complete trust and confidence in somebody. And when we gave you that name, we had complete trust and confidence that God was going to take care of you. And now you're showing your faith by making a huge commitment and being baptized. So I'm going to ask you the most important question you're ever going to be asked. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he died on the cross for you, for me, and for everybody in the world?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Kenley, I now baptize you in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins.
Amen.
We are so proud of you and so thankful for your family, and want to just ask God to bless your walk with Him. Father God, thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for the chance for us as a whole church family to be able to celebrate what Ken and her family celebrated just yesterday. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for the way that He made for us to be part of your family. And Lord, I thank you for Kenley's faith. I thank you for her love for you. I thank you for her willingness and desire to follow your Son. God, we pray today that you will help her to walk with Him every day of her life. Father, help her to be the light and to shine the joy and to share the message that you've planted into her life. And Father, we're grateful for her, and we pray your blessings to be upon her. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for Jesus that makes that possible. We're thankful for the gift of your Holy Spirit that now lives within her, and Father, that will be with her and bless her all of her life. Lord, we love you, and we are so grateful today to celebrate this. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Serious. When you hear Will talking to his daughter, you hear the tears in his voice, because this is a serious occasion. It's the most precious moment. And before that, there was a little moment where he said, "Kenley, your mother and I have prayed for this day for so long." Why? Because it's serious. When you have kids, to want more than anything to see them to become followers of Jesus. You long for the day that they will make the faith that they hear about on a regular basis their own faith, and that they make the decision to become a child of God. By faith in what Jesus did at the cross, that God is able to take the sins that separated us and to wash them away by His power and His grace, when we just humbly submit ourselves to His obedience. What a blessing it is. And you hear the seriousness in that. Today I want us to think about this idea from Matthew chapter 18. I appreciate so much Brian and Matthew taking those two passages in Matthew 17, because I didn't want to skip over them. But at the same time, I sure didn't want to preach about death and taxes. But I do want you to think about this. In that scene when he sends the disciples down and he reaches into the mouth of a fish. I've been fishing a lot. And I've occasionally found a new lure. But I've never found coins in the mouth of a fish. And we serve a God that can put coins in the mouth of fish to provide for the needs that we have. As we start Matthew 18, we start with a serious question. You remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the first part of this chapter when the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is it then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You see, sometimes, like these disciples, we are serious, but we're serious about the wrong things. You ever been there? You know, it's kind of like the guy who said, "Man, I was so busy in my life climbing the ladder of success that when I got to the top, I got there only to find it was leaning against the wrong wall." Serious. We're serious about things. Oh man, we're serious about our football. We're serious about our team and what they're doing. We're serious about the jobs that we have, or the things that we drive, or hopefully the opportunity that we have for our kids in athletics or in academics. We're serious about so many things. But these guys were serious about the wrong. They were wanting to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus says, unless you become like little children, you won't even enter the kingdom. Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me. He's making a point to them to say, make sure that you're serious about the right things. What are kids serious about? Well, not a whole lot, right? But I guarantee when Dad gets home from work, they come running. You remember those days? I guarantee that when they've fallen down and they've skint their knee, all that they want, nobody else will do, but they got to have Mama. Mama, will you come and take care of this hurt for me? See, they understand some things. They understand who the relationships that they can count on are. And what Jesus is wanting His disciples to see is that there are some things that we need to be serious about, and being the greatest is one of them. Verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. You see, Jesus wants us to be serious about raising our kids well. What a beautiful testimony for us to see today of that, to raise our children in the Lord, to raise our kids knowing and differentiating between good and evil, to have the ability that you've implanted in them for their looking at life and opportunities to serve and do good and to care and to have compassion. But also to know it's a serious thing when we cause little ones in our lives to stumble. When we place priorities on things that aren't really priority in the eyes of God. And we give that to our kids as the thing that's most important. Jesus says, woe to the one that causes one of these little ones to stumble. The greatest responsibilities that we have in our lives, I think, go back to those of you and I that have been parents are planting the truth and the love of God in their hearts. This is serious. Jesus goes on to say that there's something as we look about, as we think about serious. Look at verse 7 and 8. Jesus says again, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come through. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. You see, what Jesus is laying out for us in a very graphic way is the reality that we need to be serious about sin. I mean, here is a picture of things that can cause us, maybe it's greed, the things that we work for and we want so badly with our hands. Maybe it's something else that we are, and He makes the extreme, He uses this metaphor to say, man, can you imagine? I know when I preach this in Matthew chapter 5, Will Fry comes up to me. Bless Will's heart, lost his hand in an accident with the GM company years ago. And he says, I can't believe you were talking about me today, cutting your hand off. Well, Will, y'all, we just need to give Will a hand right now. No, I'm just kidding. That's another joke, right, Will? Give him a hand. Will said, don't preach about me. We think about that and we can think, you know, it's one thing to lose your arm in a tragic accident. It's another thing for Jesus to say, sin is such a terrible thing that if there's something in your life causing that sin, do everything you can to get rid of it. Obviously, He's not saying poke out your eyes or cut, but what He is saying to us is that sin is serious. It's so serious that it would be better to go through life with one eye, one hand, whatever it is that you've removed from your life, for the purpose of saying your soul is more valuable than your hands or your eyes or whatever it is that sin that is trying to fulfill in your life, your soul is more valuable. Be serious about sin. Don't let it take your soul. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 talks about sin and its power, and he says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, but your iniquity or your sin has separated you from God." Why is sin such a big deal? Because it separates. It hurts our relationship with the Father. Your sins have hidden His face from you. It matters. Why is sin such a big deal? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians 6 is one of several passages throughout Paul's letters where he talks about the seriousness of sin. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." I think it's important. You could camp out right there. Satan is the father of lies. Everything he is introducing to us, that sin is a constant deception. I ran into the family of a young girl that was in our youth group back in Savannah this weekend. Hadn't seen her in 25 years. And I was asking about her, and she's a successful business person now. And I said, "Well, tell me about her family." And they said, "You haven't heard." I said, "No, I haven't." And they told me the tragedy about her husband and his addiction with drugs, and how he had basically gambled all of their family's fortune. And they were a well-off family to the tune of millions of dollars. Lost it all to the point of even him losing his life. Sin is serious. It looks to us like Satan wants it to, that it's all good and you can't go wrong with this deal, or nobody's going to be hurt with just this little bit of a, you know, it's just a sip. It's just one. It's just a little drink. You're not going to become, addicted to that. Or it's just to try to get through the stress that you're dealing with right now. Or it's just to, and he's going to paint every picture for us. It's just a little bit of flirting. It's not anything serious. Paul says, do not be deceived. And he tells us of what? He says, neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers, listen to it, will inherit the kingdom of God. Why is sin such a big deal? Why is it that we are in such need of the forgiveness of sin that God offers us when we surrender ourselves to His plan for our lives, when we're immersed and we're washed in the blood of His Son? Why was it so significant and so serious that Jesus would give Himself up on a cross to die the worst of all possible deaths? Because it's serious. And in sin, I cannot be saved. I cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without the blood of Christ. And he says, if you're continuing in these lifestyles, these sinful things, this behavior, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11 is one of my favorites. Because God doesn't just leave us in that place. He doesn't leave us with the predicament or the difficulty or the situation and go, "Oh, best wishes, good luck." Because he inserts this, "And that is what some of you were. Think about Paul writing and looking out across the room and thinking about these people in his letter. He says, that's what some of you were. Paul saying, I remember Stephen over here. And you knew Stephen, and Stephen had an affair, almost destroyed his marriage, but he was washed and he was sanctified and he was justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And that's what he was. But that's not who he is. And I remember David over here, and we knew David was a little different. Everybody knew David was a little different, but David got into that lifestyle. He got into that lifestyle. He got surrounded by people that said this is an okay thing to do. And David got involved with other men. David started practicing that lifestyle. But David heard the gospel. And we all knew the day that he became a Christian, that God had washed him, that he had sanctified him, that he had justified him in the name of Jesus. David, that's such were some of you. That's what he was. But that's not who he is in Jesus. Oh, and everybody knew that Brother Billy over here, Billy struggled with the drink, and he was a drunk, and nobody, you know, that's who he was. But after he became a follower, that's not who he is. That's not what he's doing now. What a message of hope. And that is what some of you were. Why? Why were they this way? Why wasn't it that they keep on being that way? Because they got serious in their lives about sin. They started to see sin the way God sees sin. And when we do that in our lives, when we look at the things that sin has done in people that we know, even personally in our own relationships, we realize the power of sin, and we've got to get serious about it. And Jesus makes the point, says, look, even if it means getting rid of some things and distancing yourselves from some relationship and not going to some places and not doing something, if it means turning off your internet, whatever it means that seriously helps you be faithful to God. We got to be serious about sin. And Jesus lays that out for us. Jesus is very clear, very plain about it. You think about the addictions that we watch. Have you noticed that at the end of all of the DraftKings and all the ads about gambling and whatever, what's the bottom line on the bottom now? That some reason, I don't know, somebody sued them or something, but they're making them put it on there. If you struggle with addiction and gambling, call so and so and so and so and so and so. If that's my business, I don't think I'm going to want to put that on the bottom. I'd be like, if you're struggling, then I'm still making money. Keep doing what you're doing. But somebody has forced them because addiction is a serious thing. You see it on the end of the alcohol commercials. What is it? It's like, drink responsibly or da-da-da-da-da. They've got the tags. And if you're struggling with so-and-so, why? Because sin is designed to destroy us and to kill us. It's serious. But Jesus doesn't just stop with that. That's one. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the fact that he goes into and he kind of lays out the destination. You know, Stephen Covey talked about in life when you're making your plans, one of those seven things that he was so well known for is you begin with the end in mind. That's pretty good philosophy for the Christian life, isn't it? Where do you want to end up? I mean, there's two. There is heaven and there is hell. Where do you want to begin? Where do you want to end up? And as you live life, you begin with that end in mind. We don't just accidentally arrive at one of those two destinations. Those two destinations are made with a lifetime of choices and decisions. And we've got to be serious about those decisions because the decisions affect the destination. I want to be serious about my eternity. Jesus makes this point and he says, do you want to enter life? Enter life without a certain group of friends. Enter life without the latest fad. Enter life without not being on the thing that's sucking up every bit of your time. Or do you want to be thrown into eternal fire? I don't know what all and how punishment is going to be, but when Jesus describes it as eternal fire, that means eternal, something that doesn't ever stop. Fire, probably one of the worst ways that the human mind can imagine to suffer. I need to be serious about eternity. I need to look at the decisions, the things, my dependence, my desire to follow Jesus in every way. Because nothing else really is going to matter. When you think about eternal, that means it doesn't stop. It's forever. Our minds can hardly fathom that idea of eternity. And I probably, the one imagery that captured my conceptualization of this years ago was a fellow that said, some youth event we talked about it, and he said, can you imagine the distance from the earth to the moon? Somebody can give me the Google real quick and tell me the actual distance, but it's a long stinking way, right? And he says, you imagine an ant picking up a grain of sand on the earth and carrying it all the way to the moon and depositing it. And then walking back to the earth and grabbing another grain of sand, grain of dirt, and carrying it all the way back to the moon. And this process going back and forth over and over until this ant has transported every bit of the sand, every bit of the earth from the earth to the moon. Imagine the length of time that would take. And then he said this. He said, once the earth was entirely moved to the moon, eternity would just be getting started. We need to be serious about our eternity. That each one of us possesses a soul that is eternal and it will never die. That's why Jesus was so serious about it. That's why Jesus came from eternity and stepped into our flesh so that He could live the perfect life and show us who to be and show us how to live. And He would die the death that we should have died. He would be raised again to show us that there's life after this death. We need to be serious about eternity. And finally, I want us to think about this. We need to be serious about sheep. You see, verse 10 picks up in Matthew chapter 18 and he says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 in the hills to go and look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Now, commentators will talk about how Matthew in this moment has transitioned from the idea of the children to those who are perhaps disciples who are young in their faith, those that he's concerned about wandering off now. And he says, for us as believers, we need to be people who are concerned about the sheep that are around us. We need to be concerned about the folks that we're looking at. You know, I hadn't seen so-and-so. Man, I missed so-and-so. Have you called so-and-so? Have you reached out to that friend? Have you checked on them? Our elders are concerned and praying and talking and reaching out to folks. They are shepherds and they need to be concerned, and they should be, but we also ought to be as well. Because number one, every sheep has value in the family and flock of God. Every one of us matters to the Lord. And Jesus is giving us that imagery to say, hey, I want you to see the heart of my Father here. And my challenge to us is, does our heart reflect the heart of God? He would leave the 99 that are in safe conditions to go out and find and rescue the one. You know, that's a picture of caring for each other as the body. That we're concerned about each other. And we're doing some things as a congregation to try to set up ways for us to be more and more conscientious and helpful to one another in things that we go through. And we'll share that and talk more about that in weeks to come. But I want you to know that the heart of it is the heart of God. And it's because every soul matters to Him. It doesn't matter why they walked out these doors as much as it does that we are looking for them and seeking to bring them back. And so I want to close with this thought. I want to close with this thought, and it's this. Who's the one? Who's your one? You know, the disciples started out with a question about who's number one. And that's a lot of times our focus. That's our big series. Who's number one? But Jesus comes back in this and He says, look, there's one that's wandered off. Who's the one? And who will be your one? This year, as we start, as we think about being serious about the right things, the eternal things, the most important things, is there somebody that you've missed? Is there somebody that has once been part of the flock of God and has kind of just wandered off? Will you call them? Will you take them out to coffee this week? Will you send them a card? Will you let them know you've been thinking about them? Who's your one? You know, when I think about this, I also think about something we're going to talk about next week. As we think about this, who is your one? Not in the sense of a sheep that has wandered off, but as one that is a wandering person, a soul that is lost. And we may be the person that reaches out to them. Who's your one? Who's your one? You know, as we close today, I want you to think about what in your life is there that you need to be serious about? That you need to get serious about. You've played with it too long. You've thought about it often, but you've not really been serious about it. What is it that needs to be serious today for you? I'm going to close with a prayer, and then Larry's going to come and lead us in a song. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize you're one that has hid the sin, and there's some things that you need to cut out of your life. Church is here to support you, to be part of your walk, to be part of your struggle, to be part of helping you walk in the light. Maybe today you're here and you realize, look, I'm the one. I'm the one that's wandered from the Father, and I need to come back home. I know He's looking for me. Maybe that's how I even got here today, is some way or another, this is God trying to help me get serious about my eternity. There's nothing more important in this world. And today, if there's any way we can help you, we want to do that. Let's pray together, and then Larry will come lead us. Father in heaven, we ask you today that you help us. Father, you help us to be serious about the things that are serious to you. Father, we pray that you help us to look in our lives and to identify the sin that is separating us from you. Father, we want to ask forgiveness for it, but Father, not just to ask forgiveness over and over and over and over and over and over, God, to turn from it, to repent of it. Father, we're here as a family to help one another. Father, we thank you today for Kenley and for her obedience to your gospel. And Father, maybe there's someone here today who's ready to be serious about following Jesus. And Father, I pray that maybe today that they will make that decision in their own lives to become one of your children. Father, help us to have hearts that break for the things that break your heart. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to respond to this invitation, we pray your blessings to be on them. Father, our elders are around the room ready to pray at the back wall or down in front if there's something of a public nature. Lord, we want to love each other. We want to support each other. We want everyone to know, Father, that you are ready to wash, to sanctify, and to justify. That who we were is not who we have to be anymore in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all these things in His name. Amen. If there's any need you have, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?